Well, good morning, friends. I am so glad to be with you this morning as we continue in this series, The People of the Second Chance. As Pastor Tom said, my name is Gretchen, and you know, we're in this series about second chances, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about being God's beloved people. And I wanted to give you a little reminder this morning. Today we're going to receive communion. And on days like that, that's a great opportunity for you to serve. So if you've never served before, this is something you can do. You can serve communion. You can hold a cup of juice or hold the bread. Then you're qualified. So I just wanted to put that little seed in your mind, and maybe you would like to consider over the time of my message that maybe that's a way that you can serve. So we'll be needing four helpers for that a little bit later on. So today we're going to talk about being God's beloved people. And did you know that October is Pastor Appreciation Month? Yes. So we have three pastors here at church at Sycamore Creek. We have Pastor Tom, and we have Pastor Mark, who's over at Potterville, and we also have another Pastor Tom, Pastor Tom Fox, who is a pastor of pastoral care and all sorts of other things. He's just a great person to have on our staff. Well, Teen Fuel, we decided we needed to give some appreciation to our pastors, and this is especially fun for me because Tom didn't know we were going to do this, so I got to surprise him this morning, and we created this little video for them.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true.
What I appreciate most about Pastor Tom and Pastor Mark is that they're both so patient and so understanding. And I love listening to their sermons because they're full of excitement, and I can feel the love that they have for what they're doing and their love for Jesus.
What I like about Pastor Mark and Tom is that they're so kind to everybody that comes to the church.
Mark is awesome.
Pastor Tom, what we like about you is
you light up the church.
I think Mark is really nice because he helps me through hard times.
Pastor Tom and Pastor Mark is really good at their job.
Pastor Mark, I mean, you're a big part of my life. Like, you've just been really motivational. Like, he's really chill and like easy to talk to, and he's a pretty motivational.
All right, so we really love you guys. And I know that some of you heard Pastor Tom last week say he doesn't really like to have cards, but we made you some cards. So maybe, like, keep them for a few weeks. Okay, all right. Well, we just wanted to show that you guys are beloved to us just as we are beloved to God. So we've been in this series, and we've been talking about second chances. And we've talked about our second chance stories. We talked about being brave with your second chance story. And last week, Tom told us that weird is wonderful. And I love that one because, whew, I'm a little weird. So I'm glad that it's wonderful. Well, today we're going to talk about being God's beloved people. And, excuse me, Paul is going to tell us, he tells us in the letter to the Ephesians, he says this. There we go. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ, Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So God loves each and every one of us, and he adopted us into his family. And my favorite part of the scripture says that he knew he loved us before he even made the world. That's such big love. That's powerful. Oh, I love that. And, you know, when you hear the word beloved, you might be like, well, what does that mean? So the word beloved, oh, thanks, Jason, for moving that. The word beloved means greatly loved, dear to the heart. So if somebody is beloved, they are a person who is greatly loved. We are greatly loved by God. We are dear to his heart. Have you ever had someone in your life who is greatly loved, or who has shared with you that you are greatly loved by them? Is there someone you know who has reminded you of that? Well, I've had that from several people, and one of the people I think of is my mom. And I wanted to share with you something that I have here. I have several boxes like this in my house. These are cards that I've received over the years They're cards from family members. They're cards from friends. They're probably graduation cards in there, birthday cards in there. I just love keeping cards because I think they're really special. When I look back at them, I'm reminded that that person loved me, that they love me, and they wanted me to know that. And so I know that a lot of people don't save cards, and I guess if that's not your thing, it's okay. But I think everybody should have a box like this. It's special to go through these. And so I pulled out some of my favorites because the person who does that for me or did that for me in my life is my mom. She was a person who would always give me a call on the phone and say, "Hey, how's it going? I love you. I just wanted you to know I miss you." Or she would send me a text, or she would buy me a gift, or she would send cards. My mom is a person who would send cards for no reason at all. She might send them for any holiday. I'm pretty sure I got one for St. Patrick's Day, and I got one for Halloween, and all those crazy holidays. She would send me a card and let me know she loved me. I got one here that says that it was hard for no reason at all. That one was great. I got this one when I did my very first sermon when I was in college, which I was very nervous about, and I personally didn't think it went well. So it was really helpful for me to get this encouragement from her. And here's my favorite one. This one, so my parents lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico for a while, and my mom fell in love with Native American art, so I don't know if you can see that, but that's a card with some Native American art on the front. And this card was a card that she sent me when I was in college because she needed to send me some money. I needed money for some allergy medication, and so she actually sent extra money, and then she said you could use this extra money to buy something to wear. I think I must have been having some kind of event, and she wanted me to have something special to wear for it. But what I love about this card is that in the card, she just tells me what's going on. She was like, "Oh, your brother fixed his car, so that's good. And I just wanted to tell you how life is at home." And my favorite part, though, is that in college, I did opera, which was something I never thought I would do. And in the card, she says, "I'm so anxious and excited to come down next month. I've never seen an opera before." And so she just had this unique way of just expressing how much she loved me. And she's such a special person to me. Now, some of you may know, but some of you may not know, that last year around Easter time, my mom passed away. And so I feel, you know, I felt a little whole. I feel like, man, I'm not getting those cards anymore. I'm not getting those reminders from my mom that I'm loved. And so it feels a little bit like something's missing. Sometimes we forget that we are loved by God. Sometimes we forget that we're loved by others. And it can be hard to imagine that we could be God's beloved. We can't imagine that we're God's beloved. Man, sometimes we think we're just too messed up. Do you ever think that? Like, "Oh, I'm so messed up. How could God love me? Man, I'm just too disorganized. I'm too awkward, or I'm too messy. I'm not popular. I'm not athletic." When I was in high school, it was important to be athletic, and I was in band and choir, so I was definitely not that athletic, although somebody reminded me earlier, marching band's pretty athletic. But I didn't think I was very athletic. I felt like I was a failure sometimes. I felt like I wasn't successful. Maybe you think you're too nerdy. Like, how could God love me? I'm so nerdy. But you know what? He does love us. But we have these things in our lives that we think, how could anyone love me with this part of me? We live in a culture of shame. So I learned recently that shame is something that we feel because society tells us that we should be a certain way. So if we're not that way, or we don't do that thing that society says we should, then we feel shame. And you know, in our society, isn't it true that we feel like we have to be on all the time? Like we always have to have it together. And especially in this day and age with social media, we are on display all the time. People always know what's going on in our lives. And so we feel like we have to be a false person, a false self. We feel like we have to be a super person. Like this, sometimes I feel like I have to be a super mom. Wouldn't it be awesome to have like 10 arms? I think I could actually do everything if I had 10 arms. She's juggling the kids, and she's juggling the grocery shopping, and taking kids to school, and cleaning the house. And, you know, she's taking the kids to their activities. And, oh, she's working, too. And there's a mirror up there. She's making sure she looks good all the time. Man, that's a lot of pressure. We feel this pressure to be this super person. Or here's This is one of my Pinterest boards. Do you know what Pinterest is? So Pinterest is this online community, or like social media community, where it's basically a pin board on the internet. So you know, like when back in the day when we had like cork boards, and we would find something we thought was interesting and we'd pin it up there, like, oh, good recipe, I'll put that on there and I'll try that out. That's what this is, but it's online. And I don't know about all of you, but I have thousands of pins on my Pinterest boards. And this one that I'm showing you right here is my organization board. So a few of these say, like, how to organize every space in your house. One of them says, how to be the most organized person in the world. And my favorite, there's at the bottom, there's these printable things that if you go to this website, you can print these things out, and it says that by printing these out and using them, you'll be the most organized person. You'll have your whole world organized. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? But I have to confess to you, I'm pretty sure I've never done any of the things on this board. Is anybody else like that? You've got Pinterest and you've got all these pins, but you've never done any of them? Anybody? All right, Tara. See, she's confessing. Yes. Sisterhood. We got this. Okay. So, you know, we feel like we have to be this super person because of these things like this organization thing and all this pressure from society. I definitely experienced this. I experienced shame. One of the areas that I experience that around is the way I look. When I leave the house, I want to make sure that I look put together, you know? But I have to confess, I love being comfortable. I believe that whoever invented blue jeans was not thinking about comfort when they invented them. I don't think blue jeans are comfortable. I know some people who say, oh, this is my favorite pair of jeans, they're so comfortable, and I'm like, what's wrong with you? No, they're not. But I don't think blue jeans are very comfortable. So when I go home at the end of the day, I put on my PJs right away. Or I'm wearing sweatpants or yoga pants or something really comfy. I'll probably go home after this service and put on my PJs. And then I'll get dressed again so I can come here and do Teen Fuel. That's my confession of the day. I go home and put my sweatpants on while I'm at home and then get dressed to come out in public. And you know, we want to look a certain way. We feel like we need to be a certain way when we're out in public. And I realized just how much this shame or this pressure affected me recently. I have a 3-year-old daughter named Hope, and one day I was getting dressed and ready to go somewhere, and she came in the bedroom and she said, "Where are you going, Mommy?" And I realized, I only get dressed when I'm leaving the house. Oh my gosh. It was like, it hit me in that moment. Oh, I really experienced this sense of shame that I have to get dressed and I have to look a certain way when I leave the house. Or maybe the shame was, I don't get dressed ever unless I'm leaving the house. Man, I should probably get dressed more often or something like that. Well, it reminded me of my favorite TV show, How I Met Your Mother. Here's a clip from that show.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say this isn't just about a burger.
Marshall's not doing so well, guys. He really needs to get a job.
Tell them about the underpants.
What about the underpants?
Started a couple of weeks ago.
Heads! It's gonna be heads! It's almost usually heads.
Hey, baby.
Hey!
Did you put on pants today?
Nope.
It was funny at first. Then it became a daily thing. I thought, okay, well, at least he's not leaving the house like that. And one day he opened the door to get the paper. The day after that, went downstairs to get the mail.
Everyone's got an underpants radius. For most of us, it's the distance from the bedroom to the bathroom. But as your self-esteem gets smaller, your underpants radius gets bigger.
How big is Marshall's underpants radius?
We're going.
Oh, I have to confess that I have been dying to use a How I Met Your Mother clip in a sermon ever since I started preaching here. And I'll sit in the meetings, the creative worship meetings that we have about our different series, and I'll be like, hey guys, this would be a great time to use a How I Met Your Mother clip. And I can guarantee that they're sitting around the table going, not again, Gretchen. No, no, we're not going to. Well, I got you. I got to use it. So here we have Marshall, who, you know, he's just not feeling so great about himself, and his friends are sitting around the table shaming him. they have this expectation, you know, that he get dressed every day, and they're shaming him, making it, you know, saying that that's not okay. You know, I have to tell you, I would never go outside to get the mail without brushing my hair. This is for real. So Data and Steve live down the street from me. I always brush my hair and put it in a ponytail if I'm going to go get the mail, guys. You should check it out sometime. I would never do that because of this shame. Now, I think that maybe what we need to do is we need to let go of being perfect all the time. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should leave the house in boxers. I promise I'm not suggesting that. Don't tell somebody if you go out in public in boxers that it was my idea. Please don't. But I do think we need to let go of our tight grip on being perfect all the time. Because it doesn't really matter what the culture says or what society thinks about us. What matters is that we're loved by God. We need to place the foundation of our identity in the knowledge that we are God's beloved. Because when we don't accept this, we just can't measure up. You know, we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to get it right all the time. And that not measuring up over and over again, if we can't accept that we're God's beloved, it's going to crush our souls. It's going to just hurt us. It's going to be disheartening little by little. So Paul writes many letters to many different communities of believers, and he wrote in another letter to the Romans, he said, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love that. Paul says that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing in all of creation. Not our flaws, not our imperfections, not our blemishes, not our mistakes or our messiness or our looks or anything that we are not. None of those things can separate us from God's love, because God loves us for exactly who we are. You know, as I was reading these scriptures in Paul, I realized that Paul is, for these communities of believers, exactly what my mom was for me. He's reminding them, you are loved. God loves you, and I love you. And nothing can separate you from God. So if God loves us with all of our faults, then we need to love ourselves just as much. I think sometimes we have this idea as Christians that we have to be humble and not be so self-involved to focus on how much God loves us. But that's not self-involved, it's not. Because Jesus told us when he shared the greatest commandment that love for God and love for neighbor and love for ourselves, those three things are all intertwined. So he said, it's important to love yourself. Here's what he says. He says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." It's right there in that small little phrase, love your neighbor as yourself, that he shows us that these three loves are connected. Love for God, love for neighbor, and love for ourselves. When one of them is down, when we're not loving ourselves so much, it's really hard to love God and love our neighbor. And when one of them's really good, then they all rise together. So it's so important that we love ourselves just as God loves us. I want to look back at that scripture in Ephesians from Paul. I want to read it to you again. It says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." God loved us before he even made the world. We were created to be his beloved, and we were created to be a part of his family. This is the role that we were born to play. We were created for the purpose of loving God and being loved by God. I've shared many times before that I am involved in community theater. I love to be involved in theater. And when I say that, you know, this is the role we're born to play, I think about that pressure of like going to auditions, you know. You gotta dress a certain way. I'm gonna practice my song hundreds of times before I go, and I wanna sound just right, because I have to be a certain way if they're gonna cast me in the show. And it's a lot of pressure. And then, you know, you don't wanna act too big, but you wanna act big enough. You don't wanna make a fool of yourself, but you want them to picture you in this character, in this role, so that they'll cast you. And everyone involved in theater, generally speaking, has a dream role, a role that they've always wanted to play, or a show, like a dream show that they've always wanted to be in. And it's so devastating when you audition for that dream role or that dream show if you're not cast. So devastating. But guess what? In the role of God's beloved, you got it. You all got it. We are all cast in the role of God's beloved. No need for auditions, no need for callbacks. You're in. You just have to accept it. You have to accept your role as God's beloved. He wants you to take that on as if it were your dream role. So there's somebody who is on staff here at Sycamore Creek, Carola Spagnolo. She is also, she volunteers in many different capacities here at Sycamore Creek. And she once got her dream role. She was cast as Peter Pan. Here's a picture of her. And here's what she had to say about what it was like to be cast in her dream role. She said, "Oh man, it was an amazing experience. I was really nervous, and the site where they were posting the cast list was down." Oh, that would be awful. "So I kept checking it and checking it after the time it should be posted. When it finally loaded, I cried. I was so excited, elated. I jumped all around my house screaming, 'I'm Peter Pan!' It felt like all the times that I had been miscast or disappointed when I didn't get a role, being cast as Peter made a lot of that pain go away. I felt reassured, confident, and I'm pretty sure that I crowed." I love that because, you know, Peter Pan crows, so she crowed when she found out she was Peter Pan. Oh, to be honest with you, when I read this over and over, it just makes me emotional. My favorite part of what she said is, "It felt like all the times that I had been miscast or disappointed when I didn't get a role, being cast as Peter made a lot of that pain go away. I felt reassured and confident." I hope that I feel that way every time I'm reminded that I'm God's beloved. Because being loved by God, that means that all the pain of being rejected by the world, all that pain of not measuring up, it goes away. God pushes it away. He washes it away. It's not there anymore because we are loved by God. So if we're going to find our identity as God's beloved, and we're going to have that as our true foundation, as the foundation of who we are, then we have to stop being perfect. I know that's so scary. Like, oh, we have to stop being perfect. We have to stop being that super person, that super self, and start to be the self that God made us to be. And we have to accept the role that we were born to play. So I've got some tips for you on how to stop being perfect. So the first one is to let a few people down. That sounds scary, doesn't it? I'm a people pleaser, but I gotta tell you, we're never going to please everybody. Sometimes we're going to let someone down. And it'll be okay. I have to tell myself this over and over and over again because I don't like letting people down. It will be okay. All right, Tom, you got to plug your ears for this one. Quit serving for a month. A month. Take some time to sit in these chairs and to just soak up God's love. Just to revel in that. Revel in the love that God has for you. Enjoy him. Tom is often telling us that we should take a break when we're not tired. Take a break when you're not tired. Maybe that time will help you discover what you're really meant to do for God. And then you'll be in the right role here at Sycamore Creek. The right role. Throw a party for no reason. Oh yeah, you can unplug your ears now. Throw a party for no reason. Mike Foster, who wrote this book, talks about prodigal parties. So throw somebody a party just because you love them. Not because it's their birthday and not because it's, you know, they did something cool. Just because you love them. Or play hooky for a day. Play hooky for a day. Sometimes we think we have to be working all the time, nonstop. No, play hooky. Do something fun. Do what you love to do. Sing or do some music and some art or craft, or maybe you like to run. That's not me. I'm not a runner. But I'll do some music. So you know what I was thinking today during the music? That Pete back here who just joined our band, when he sings, you can tell that he is doing what he loves to do. Oh, I love watching Pete. I love watching you sing, Pete, because he loves it. You could read a guilty pleasure book that you've always wanted to read. I have to confess, I've never read Harry Potter. I've always wanted to read it, and I never have. Maybe I need to pick up that first book and start to read it. Sing and dance like crazy. I am the person in the car who's singing and dancing at the stoplight, and people are looking at me like, that lady's crazy. And actually, I embarrass my husband when we go out in public. He tells me no table dancing because at restaurants, I'm like, yeah. So it's okay. Sing and dance like crazy. Spend too much on flowers. Who doesn't love to have some beautiful flowers that smell just gorgeous in your house? Binge watch that TV show that you secretly love. We all have it. We all have it. My favorite show that I don't like to tell people about is Dancing with the Stars. Binge watch your favorite show, that one that you secretly love that you'd rather not tell anybody about. Or you could buy a color book and some crayons or markers or colored pencils, whatever it is. Color a picture in your color book. Or take a vacation from laundry or cooking or cleaning. It will be okay. The kids might have to wear their jeans a few more times, but it will be okay. Or maybe they'll learn how to do the laundry. When I went to college, I could guarantee you the first time that I had to do laundry, I got on the phone and I said, Mom, how do I do laundry? For real. It's great. Don't do laundry so the kids can learn how to do it themselves. These are just a few ways that you can just let go of being perfect. And oh, I tell you what, it feels so good. It feels so good to let loose, to let go of some of these things, and to just stop being perfect. Take a breath. Remember who you are and why you're here, to be loved by God and to love God. And when you come back to your identity as God's beloved, that's when you're able to share that love with others. Mike Foster says in his book, there is a special category of human activities, tiny greatness. Holiness in that small, unsuspecting work of our hands, a massive flow of Jesus spilling out in barely noticed actions. As I was reading this chapter in the book, I started to call them tiny nuggets of sunshine. Tiny nuggets of sunshine. When we have our foundation as God's beloved, we're able to share those things, those tiny nuggets of sunshine. You know, earlier I was sharing with you that my mom passed away, and it felt like a hole in my life. I wasn't getting those reminders that I was loved by God, that I was loved by my mom. But as I look through this box, not all these cards are from her. These cards are from lots of different people. And one of those people is Pastor Tom. Now, for those of you who know Pastor Tom pretty well, he often says that he's very task-oriented, and he's not really good at the relational part of being a pastor, or the relational, like the touchy-feely part of friendship. But I tell you what, in my experience, he is so good at reminding me that I'm loved. These are just a couple of cards that I've received from Pastor Tom. This is my favorite because it's the very first card he ever sent me when I visited Sycamore Creek for the first time. Oh, I love it. Like, these are so great. He thinks he's not good at them, but I have these because they mean so much to me. And I recently found another reminder that I got from Tom, and it was a voicemail on my phone, and it was about a month after my mom passed away. And actually, it's funny because it was right about my birthday, so when I was going to listen to it, I thought it was him saying happy birthday. So I listened to the voicemail, and that's not what it was. It was on a Monday night I think it was a Monday night, after church in a diner, when we were doing church in a diner. And that night, I had apprenticed somebody. I was teaching them how to do the job that I was doing at the diner. And he called it, and he told me that I did a great job. He said, great job apprenticing, and good job with following up with debriefing with that person. We value evaluation here. We value reviewing what's been happening. So great job debriefing with that person. You said everything that I would have said. And then he said, I'm so glad that you're on my team. I can't wait to see what God is going to do with you here at Sycamore Creek. That's so special. Most people delete their voicemails after a week or two. No, this one's going to stay on my phone until I get a new one. Because it's such a special reminder that I am loved by God and that I'm appreciated by Pastor Tom. He gave me this tiny nugget of sunshine in that voicemail. You know, it's priceless to hear I love you when we feel worthless or repulsive or unwanted. So I want to encourage you this week. I want to give you a little homework. I want to encourage you to think of someone who needs to be reminded that they're loved, who needs to be reminded that they are loved by God. There's some cards out there like this on the info table in a basket. They're just blank cards, so you can write whatever you think needs to be said. Remind someone that they're loved, that you appreciate them. And then you could drop it in the mail. Or maybe it's somebody that you work with and you can sneak it onto their desk when they're not there. Or if it's somebody you know really, really well, you can maybe sneak it into their car so they'll find it when they get in their car. Somebody snuck a card for me last week into my son's car seat. So when I went to get him in the car seat, there was a card for me telling me that I was appreciated and that I was loved. So this is a great way to share a tiny nugget of sunshine. I would encourage you to take a card from out there or to buy one at the store or to just call someone on the phone and tell them that you appreciate them, that you love them. What if we all shared tiny nuggets of sunshine from the overflow in our life of God's love? I like to think big and I like to dream bigger. So would you dream big with me for a moment? What would it look like at Sycamore Creek if each and every one of us shared a tiny nugget of sunshine with somebody else? What would it look like in the city of Lansing, right outside these four walls, if we were to share tiny nuggets of sunshine with those people, that they're loved? What about in Potterville? What if we shared that the people of Potterville are loved with tiny nuggets of sunshine? What about in Holt, right around Buddy's? I grew up in Holt. I want those people to know that they're loved. What about in Michigan? Now we're getting really big. What about in the state of Michigan? What about in the United States? What about in the whole world? I know that's thinking really big. I think we can do it. Because if I tell Jackson that he's loved, maybe he's going to tell his cousin that he's loved. And maybe his cousin's going to tell a friend. And maybe his friend is going to tell someone else. That's how it happens. So what if we share these tiny nuggets of sunshine? How would that change our communities? I think it could change everything. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the fact that you love us more than anything. I thank you for the knowledge that we are your beloved. And I pray that as we sit here today and we go throughout our week, that you would remind us of people in our lives that need to know that they're loved. That we would be able to share tiny nuggets of sunshine with those people. I pray that in your holy name. Amen.
Today, as we come to receive communion, I'll remind you that this is an opportunity for four folks to help serve communion. You can step to the back, and the ushers will help you get prepared. When we come to this communion table, we enter into a really long story. Gretchen's already told us of being the beloved of God. You see, God created each one of us, and he looked at you, and he said, that's good. That's really good. That's two thumbs up. And the really good news is that when we messed up, in our imperfections and our intentional hurting of other people, God didn't toss us off and start over. God didn't divorce us and say, you know what, I'm done with you. Rather, God wooed us back. He did it in all kinds of different ways, but he did it most fully by coming into this world in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus showed us what that perfect love looked like. And when the world saw that perfection, it ultimately had Jesus executed. Remember, Jesus willingly gave himself up for that. We're talking about the Son of God here. He didn't have to go up to that execution, but rather the night before he gave himself for that, he gathered his closest friends in a room for a last meal. And he took the bread that was there at the table, and he gave thanks to you, God. And he gave it to his friends, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. When the supper was over, he took a cup. And he gave thanks to you, God. And he gave it to his friends, and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins, that you might know that you are the beloved of God. And so, God, send your Holy Spirit here on us, your beloved, and on this bread and on this juice, and make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might share that love with all that we come in contact with. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all who agreed said, amen. Amen. Tara, would you come and join me up here to help serve communion? And Mark and Alice, would you help come and serve communion as well? You may wonder, if you are here this morning and you're a guest, can you receive communion if you are not a member of Sycamore Creek? And the answer to that is that if you look inside your heart and you find a desire to live at peace with God and a desire to live at peace with those around you, then you are welcome to come and receive communion. When you come forward, you will step to the person who's holding the bread and you'll say your name. That person will tear off a generous piece of God's grace for you this morning. They'll say, this is the body of Christ given for you. Then you'll step to the person who's holding the cup and say your name again to them so that they can say, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. And you'll dip the bread in the cup, and then you'll receive it. Friends, the table has been set. Come as you're ready.